Good morning and welcome in to the Wednesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hello there. My name is Mark Congleton. I am your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. And last night was a pretty huge night for President Donald Trump as he announced his run for re-election to the office of President of the United States. It was a pretty doggone big night. And he spoke for about an hour and a half, almost 90 minutes, touching on many, many topics, and finally wrapping up by making his official announcement. He thanked Sarah Huckabee Sanders for her time as a press secretary and let her take the stage to rousing applause. And he had a lot of fun with a friendly crowd last night. And at one point, he was talking about the fake news media, and the crowd erupted in the chant, CNN sucks, over and over and over again. And at that point, CNN dropped the feed. I don't know if you were aware of this, but CNN dropped the feed and then went to their panel to discuss his attack on the press. MSNBC at some point almost also dropped the feed. They didn't have it. I did some checking last night and looking at the different channels to see who had it. Fox News and Fox Business had it. If you wanted to see the president speak last night, you had to look at Fox News or Fox Business. And it was an interesting evening. And here is a brief compilation of some of the things that were said.
I stand before you to officially launch my campaign for a second term as President of the United States. I can promise you that I will never, ever let you down. I won't. We accomplished more than any other president has in the first 2.5 years of a presidency, because we did, in the middle of the great and illegal witch hunt, things that nobody have been able to accomplish, not even close. Since my inauguration, we've added 16,000 manufacturing jobs a month. Remember the statement from the previous administration? You'd need a magic wand to bring back manufacturing. Well, we'll tell Sleepy Joe that we found the magic wand. More than 120 Democrats in Congress have also signed up to support crazy Bernie Sanders' socialist government takeover of health care. He seems not to be doing too well lately. America will never be a socialist country, ever. We have to come up with a theme for the new campaign, right? But, you know, there's a new one that really works. And that's called Keep America Great, right? Keep America Great. We are going to keep on fighting, and we are going to keep on winning, winning, winning.
There was more. In an hour and a half, of course, there was much, much more. And I have a little bit more of that we can play here coming up in a moment. He had a lot to say last night. He talked about, he even talked about Hillary Clinton at one point, asking if he had deleted an email, even a love note to Melania, then the press would be demanding the electric chair for him. But 33,000 emails go missing from Hillary. There's a subpoena, and she doesn't turn it over. That still boggles the mind, that someone who works in our government is issued a subpoena, and they just ignore it. Now, you might be thinking, well, isn't Trump doing the same thing? Well, not exactly. Not exactly. The special counsel, the investigation, found nothing on him. They found nothing. No collusion. They couldn't make, they, And there was nothing there severe enough for them to make a call on him obstructing justice. There was nothing there. There was no there. But on Hillary, we saw a lot there. And there was more to be said as well. It was a great evening overall. And I hope you got a chance to watch it. If not, there's going to be a lot of coverage of it today. I've got another soundbite compilation here that I'll play in just a moment for you as well. Hopefully you're doing well. Hopefully you're having a great day. It's the middle of the week. The weekend is now in sight. And hopefully you are going to take some time this weekend and unplug and live life. Because that's what it's all about. It's not about all this stuff. We do have to pay attention to all the stuff that's going on, because if we don't pay attention, then our elected officials get away with criminal behavior. So we have to pay attention to what they're doing, but on the weekends, live your life, enjoy your family, get out and play, do your yard work, work on your car, do the things you need to do, and unplug. But come Monday morning, plug back in, and let's see what they've been up to. I'll be here to help as well, okay? All right. Let's see. There was something. Oh, yeah. There's a new social media platform that's not completely new. It's been around for a little while. I've told you before about Gab, and the show is on Gab. I'm on Gab, and I've been kind of poking around a little bit, and I'm not really sure what I think about Gab. I appreciate what they're doing as far as a First Amendment platform, that free speech is free speech. There is no such thing as hate speech, and that you can pretty much say anything you want to until they do have lines. There are lines that they do draw, and you start calling for violence, then you get the boot, that sort of a thing. So it's a good idea, but they've been facing so much uphill pressure and negative press that they're not getting a lot of traction. There's another service, the one I originally started to talk about, another service called Parler. It's a French word, P-A-R-L-E-R, Parler.com. And they have iOS and Android apps for your devices, and you can also log in online. And it is a different social media platform, and a lot of conservative people, a lot of people you see on conservative media are on Parler. And so I got curious about it the other day, and I went to look at it, and really, in order to look at it, you've got to sign up. So I signed up and poked around, and there are I'm seeing a lot more activity there than I did over at Gab. And I'm starting to see people echoing my posts, and particularly the posts about this particular podcast. And so this podcast is starting to get shared or echoed by people on Parler. So if you're on Parler listening to the podcast because you saw it there, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. And thanks for echoing it to your friends on Parler as well. So let's spread this around. It's just as an introduction, in case you're just logging in here and you haven't heard of this before. I'm Mark Congleton. I've been in the radio business for a long, long time. My partner Dave Mack and I for years had a radio show called The Mark and Mack Show. And we have always been, conservative Christian guys on the radio. We worked in Christian broadcasting together for about 5 years. And off and on, we have done other things, talk radio, music radio, and the like. And most recently, we just did a talk radio show. And as the radio business goes, when you are in a relatively small market, you are at the whims of the marketplace. And we found ourselves heading different directions just to pay the bills again. And so I decided, why not start that podcast idea up that I had? And that's what I did by doing this. So rather than doing a long form show 3 to 4 hours a day, like we would on a radio station, it's an hour. It's 1 hour a day. It's live on Facebook, because really it's either Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube if you're going to go live. And most of our audience was already plugged into our Facebook outlet. So Facebook made the most sense. So It's an hour a day, 9, 8 central on Facebook Live on the Mark and Max Show Facebook page. And I'm thinking about moving it over to the Daily Perspective Facebook page in the near future, but I got a feeling I'm going to lose people if I do that. That's part of it. We'll see about that, though. And it's also available in the iTunes Store, in Google Podcasts. It's on SoundCloud, Spotify, and of course, you can go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com and pick it up and listen to it. Listen to it there, not listen live, but you can listen to the podcast there. So if you've just jumped on board, it's all conservative. It's all talk. And what I say at the top of the show about it being an hour of observation, insight, and absurdity, that sort of sums up what I do here. I bring you articles from various sources throughout the hour of the program that make observations about what's happening in our society, both here and around the world. I bring you a little bit of insight, mine and the insight of other people, and I enjoy pointing out the absurdity. And as far as the absurdity goes, I try not to get angry about how absurd things are, because you have to just enjoy absurdity for what it is and understand it for what it is if you're going to actually make any headway in life. So that's how I see things, and that is what this podcast pretty much is about. It's a daily hour of observation, insight, and absurdity hosted by little old me, your sometimes humble host. And I say sometimes because I'm not always humble. I try to be honest. And that's a big thing. If you chat with any of our faithful listeners, you will find that honesty is the big thing. Because if we're not honest with ourselves, we're not going to be honest about anything. We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest about life. And we have to take an honest look at the world around us and what people are doing in the world around us in order to understand and to cope with the reality of life. If we're dishonest with ourselves, for example, if we tell ourselves that we may have been born one gender, but we believe we're another gender, we're not being honest with ourselves. We're entertaining a fantasy. That's not honest. If we believe that socialism is good for the people of the nation, then we're not being honest with ourselves, and we're not being honest with real life, because the evidence of real life shows us over and over and over again that the opposite is true. Because every time socialism has been attempted anywhere in the world, it has been a failure. It has been abandoned, or it has been modified greatly in order for it to function. And we also know that socialism quashes creativity and initiative and everything that the human spirit craves. So it goes against the grain. It's sold as fairness and equality, and it's anything but, because life is not fair and life is not equal. And if we're honest about life, we'll acknowledge that and press forward to the best of our ability. And that's kind of the core of things. We have to be honest about things. And we have to honestly ridicule from time to time. That also happens here. So be aware that there is a bit of ridicule. So if you're new to the podcast, welcome on board. I'm glad that you're here. Thanks a lot for being here. And to those of you in particular on Parlay who have been sharing the podcast, thank you. Thank you very much. Please keep sharing the podcast. Let's grow the family bigger, okay? In a little while, I'll tell you more about various things. If you're new on board, for example, the newsletter, I'll tell you, we actually have a daily newsletter. I say we. When I say we, it doesn't mean I have a frog in my pocket or that there's more than one person here, because I am the Lone Star Sheriff of this operation. I'm talking about us, you and I together. There's a daily newsletter that goes out that contains everything that we talk about during the show, plus some. And I'll talk about that more as we move forward. Okay? All right. And that kind of sums that up. But thanks again to the folks on Parlay who have been sharing my posts there. Because what I've been doing, for those of you who've been around for a while, over on Parlay, it's the SoundCloud version. I upload to SoundCloud every day, as well as the main server. And so every day when I do that, I upload a link and the little bullet points about what we talked about during the show so people can listen. And by the way, if you're looking for a way to listen and you don't want to put an app on your phone, go to SoundCloud or Spotify, because they're quick. You don't have to wait any time for that thing to start. It just, bang, starts right up as soon as you click the button. But I share it there, and people have been sharing that link. And more people are hearing the show, and I'm getting more people who are following me on Parlay than I have anywhere else, which I think is interesting, and it's encouraging. And once again, thanks. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Hi there. Good to have you along today. I hope you're doing well. I hope you have a great day ahead of you. And I hope that you were able to watch President Trump as he announced last night his bid to be reelected as our President of the United States of America. You know, in less than 24 hours, the Trump campaign raised over $24 million. Now, Joe Biden sent out a little light. Was it Joe Biden? It was either Joe Creepy Joe or Crazy Bernie sent out a message about how much they had raised yesterday. They were bragging about it. And in less than one day, Donald Trump outraised him. And it's just absolutely astounding. Over $1 million an hour in the last 24. Just absolutely incredible. Just absolutely incredible. I told you I had another compilation of what was said during the rally last night, and I want to run that for you now, and then we're going to branch off into some other stories, okay? Nod your head. Very good.
I stand before you to officially launch my campaign for a second term as President of the United States. The fact is, the American dream is back. It's bigger and better and stronger than ever before. The Democrat Party has become more radical, more dangerous, and more unhinged than at any point in the modern history of our country. The Democrat agenda of open borders is morally reprehensible. No one who supports sanctuary cities should be allowed to run for President of the United States.
I agree.
The Democrats don't care about Russia. They only care about their own political power. And they wanted to deny you the future that you demanded and the future that America deserves. And by the way, a woman who has been so good, so talented, so wonderful, and we're sort of going to be losing. I have a feeling she's going to be running for a certain gubernatorial position.
This has been truly the honor of a lifetime, one of the most incredible experiences anybody could ever imagine. You've made America great.
We're going to keep on fighting for every man and woman and child all across this land. With every ounce of heart and might and sweat and soul, we're going to keep making America great again. And then we will indeed keep America great.
It was an exciting evening. It really was. In Orlando, Florida. And there were a lot of people in that place. I saw a figure that said something like 22,000. I thought capacity was 20, but you know, I guess you could shove a few more in there. There were some empty seats up in the nosebleed sections, a very few, but there were a lot of enthusiastic people there last night, and an enthusiastic president launching his bid for a second term. And of course, today the talking heads in the alphabet media will be having their say about things. They'll be doing their analysis. They'll be tearing it all apart. They'll be calling practically everything he said a lie last night. But then we know how trustworthy they are, because we're talking about the same people here. When we're talking about the mainstream press, the leftist progressive press, we're talking about the people who are ignoring the issues at the border and agreeing with Democrats that it's all a made-up crisis. And speaking of that, You probably saw that everybody's favorite Twinkie from New York, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, yesterday said some stuff that was just really insane. Just insane. And the acting director of the Department of Immigration and Customs Enforcement issued a scathing rebuke of her comments, talking about the migrant camps. He said, Director Mark Morgan said to The Hill, "It's completely inappropriate, it's reckless, it's irresponsible, it's misinformed, and it's flat out wrong." He explained that there is so much oversight in these facilities. He's talking about the migrant detention camps. "I encourage the check and balance. I encourage inspections. I feel very satisfied that if you go to these facilities, whether it's a Border Patrol facility or an HHS facility, that's Health and Human Services, or an ICE facility, that there will be safe and adequate conditions to detain individuals." Ocasio-Cortez began a firestorm of blowback after she accused the Trump administration of running, quote, concentration camps, end quote, on the border. Of course, when you hear that term, concentration camps, what's the first thing that comes to mind for you? For me, got to be honest with you, Hogan's Heroes. That's what I thought of. Of course, German concentration camps. That's what I thought of. Quote, "The U.S. is running concentration camps on our southern border, and that's exactly what they are." That's what she said during an Instagram live session Monday evening. "If that doesn't bother you, I want to talk to you, to the people that are concerned enough with humanity to say that never again means something." The Socialist Democrat was met with intense blowback on social media over the comparison to Nazi death camps, which led to a bizarre debate about whether the term referred to all death camps or also some work camps. She later attempted to justify and clarify her comments through a tweet, saying, "And for the shrieking Republicans who don't know the difference, concentration camps are not the same as death camps. Concentration camps are considered by experts as the mass detention of civilians without trial." "And that's exactly what this administration is doing," she claimed. Well, gee, Miss Ocasio-Cortez, how else do you deal with people who are illegally entering your country? You would have them slapped on the wrist and released, embraced, given driver's licenses, free health care, and possibly even free housing. That's what you would do to these people who are breaking our laws. And it doesn't matter why they came here, what their motivation was. They came here illegally. There is a legal way to get here. You can come in through a legal path. They chose not to do that. They chose to come here using loopholes set up by leftist Democrats. Bless their hearts. Well, this is not the first time the United States has dealt with an illegal immigration problem. But last time it was dealt with in a decidedly swifter and sterner manner. The response, coordinated by President Dwight Eisenhower, resulted in nearly 3 million illegal immigrants being sent home. During his administration, Eisenhower became the first American president forced to deal with problems stemming from illegal immigration. Only in Eisenhower's time, the politically correct culture of liberal sensitivities wasn't around. There was not much in the way of sympathy for those who had crossed into the country illegally. Eisenhower told the New York Times exactly what had caused the problem. Quote, "The rise in illegal border crossings by Mexicans, illegal immigrants, to a current rate of more than 1 million cases a year has been accompanied by a curious relaxation in ethical standards extending all the way from the farmer exploiters of this contraband labor to the highest levels of the federal government." Does that sound familiar? Ike took quick and decisive action. He used 1,075 Border Patrol agents to seal the border. In doing so, he achieved a task our government today deems impossible with a force that's 10% larger. Once the border was sealed, Eisenhower went about the process of removing the millions of illegal aliens. In June of 1954, he appointed retired General Joseph Jumpin' Joe Swing to head Operation Wetback, which sent local and federal officials on sweeps of Mexican neighborhoods looking for illegals. Within a month, 50,000 illegals had been captured and deported, while nearly 500,000 more fled the country to avoid arrest. By September, 80,000 more illegals had been removed from the state of Texas alone, and between 500,000 to 700,000 more had fled. These illegals weren't just dropped at the border. Swing arranged for buses and trains to take immigrants deep into Mexico before releasing them. Tens of thousands more were shipped by boat from Texas to Veracruz, Mexico. Using less manpower and resources than the federal government has today, Eisenhower was able to seal the border and send nearly 3 million illegal aliens home. The policy had the added effectiveness of deterring future illegal crossings. Whereas today, illegal immigrants are given government aid and college tuition, policies which have undoubtedly contributed to an increase in illegal immigration. The economic effects aside, the level of illegal immigration today represents a grave national security concern. Whereas Eisenhower's policies deterred such activity, Democrats' policies only further encourage the flow of undocumented persons over our southern border. Democrats in office today see all of these people as potential voters. I've said this before. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's how things really are. They know that if they grant these people amnesty, if they grant them citizenship, they're going to vote for the party in government which gave them all of the freebies and help them become part of this country. And the crazy thing about that is they're not becoming part of this country. They're not coming here to be one of us. They're coming here so they can have access to our stuff. And that's what the Democrats are helping them accomplish. We'll be back after the break when the Daily Perspective continues. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Thank you so much for being there. I mentioned the newsletter earlier. If you're new to the Daily Perspective, I put out a newsletter every day right after I finish the live version of the show in the morning, and it hits your inbox every day. And what you get in that newsletter is you get the links to all of the stories that we talk about during the hour. Plus, you get the rest of my stack, the material I couldn't get to, stuff that that just because of the constraints of time didn't make it. Not because it wasn't important, just because there just wasn't enough time. There are a handful of stories today that I know. There's one about IKEA. Yeah, if you live in areas without an IKEA, then you have no idea what the whole fuss is about, and I encourage you to drive someplace and find an IKEA, and you'll understand. But there's IKEA, it's a big store, and it's all this flat pack furniture and stuff. But actually, I just realized, I'm sitting here looking, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, where else? I'm looking behind me. Okay, 8. I have 8 IKEA lamps in the studio. You can buy them at IKEA for $10. They're the little LED lamps with a gooseneck, and they are just perfect for putting a spot of light exactly where you want it. And that's exactly how I use them. I've got them on the keyboard, on the soundboard, on things like that. I've got these IKEA lamps all over the place. But anyway, there's a story about IKEA. There's a story about creepy Uncle Joe that I'm not going to get to today. There is a story about net neutrality I really, really, really want to get to, and we'll probably talk about tomorrow, because net neutrality is a lie. It's a huge lie, and you need to understand why it's a lie. But that's coming, and it'll have to happen tomorrow. There's just not enough time. But you'll get that story today. You'll get the link to that story today. And I also include I put little bullet points below them to remind myself, don't forget about this particular aspect of things. So you get that as well if I've made notes. And you do that by going to dailyperspectivepodcast.com. Look on the right-hand column. There's a little sign-up form there. You'll get an email confirming. Okay, now you're sure you want to do this? You say yes, because you know you want this. And before long, you start getting the podcast, you start getting the notes to the show, the show notes. And if you do it during the live show, you'll get that day's, probably. I say probably because I believe you will. So do it. Go. DailyPerspectivePodcast.com. Get signed up today and start getting my notes in your inbox. During the breaks, I do scan a bit to see what's happening. I go over and look at the Facebook live feed to see who's there. I see, hi, Sunday. I see you just checked in. You're in Colorado. Hey, congratulations. She says, I'm in Colorado right now, and you might as well be living in Russia. These people are so shut out. It's unreal. Well, let's see. You've got to be there for a year. Bless your heart. Beautiful place. Not so beautiful ideology. It's the same for Northern California. I was there years ago, and I was in the San Francisco. Beautiful, 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 beautiful place. Weird, weird, weird people. But I'm scanning as I'm scanning through, and I'm looking at articles, and it hits me. This is from Yellowhammer News in Alabama. There's a if you live in the state of Texas, you're very familiar with Buc-ee's. It's a convenience store chain. And they're ginormous. Well, there's a Buc-ee's coming to near Birmingham. I didn't know there was already one in Alabama. There's one in Baldwin County. Well, Alabama, I'm so excited I can't even speak. We're officially set to get our second Buc-ee's location. Construction on a new convenience store is set to break ground in Leeds next week, June 26th. CBS 42 yesterday reported that Leeds Mayor David Miller said the Buc-ee's will be located off of I-20, exit 140, across the street from the Chevron station. I believe that's the Barber Motorsports Park exit, is it not? So that would make it in that little section between, you know, right there, right off the interstate, right by the interstate. The Buc-ee's in Baldwin County became the Yellowhammer State's largest convenience store and the first Buc-ee's to open outside of Texas when it opened earlier this year. What's the big fuss about Buc-ee's? Well, Buc-ee's is known for having a huge gas island, just tons and tons and tons of pump to choose from outside of large convenience stores. And the stores have all kinds of stuff inside. You can get hot dogs all kinds of different ways. You can get all kinds of different coffee varieties. You can get, they have Buc-ee's products. They have so much stuff. It's just incredible. I've seen this stuff on video and television again and again and again. And I'm excited that there's a Buc-ee's that's going to be, I'm thinking that's 35, 40 minutes across country from where I am. I'll have to go as soon as they open. I'll be there. I'll come away with a stuffed Buc-ee beaver. I know I will. Well, the opening day of the Baldwin County location was in January, and on that day, Buc-ee's founder Arch Beaver Applin expressed enthusiasm for continuing to make Alabama the center of the chain's expansion. He said, "So we have a site just outside of Birmingham in a little town called Leeds, Alabama, and we've been looking, yes, in the Auburn area, nothing confirmed, just out looking. I wanted to get this open before I did anything else, but the first day tells me we need more sites in Alabama." The Leeds mayor has previously said the city's Buc-ee's location is expected to include more than 100 gas pumps. 100 gas pumps! And potentially bringing over 200 jobs to the area. Leeds revenue should get a significant boost, with the mayor estimating 18 million gallons of gas will be sold at that location in the first year of business alone. Holy cow! 100 gas pumps! That's crazy town, man. That's just nuts. And there are pictures on the article. See, I've got to add this to the show notes now. Now I have to add it to the show notes because I just stumbled upon it. And so here we go. Drop it in here, drop it there, and there. I just added it to the show notes. So you will get it in the show notes today, the link to that article. See, this is how it works. Man. All right, where was I going next? You don't know because you don't have the show notes. I do. This is where I was going next. Earlier I mentioned during Trump's speech last night, he talked about Hillary and all of the things that she had done. Well, the House Oversight Committee Republicans yesterday formally called for an immediate hearing on security breaches at the State Department during Hillary Clinton's leadership. After the department said on Monday It had uncovered multiple security incidents involving more than a dozen employees. In a letter to committee chairman Elijah Cummings, the Democrat from Maryland, whose wife is using her charity and his connections to make money, ranked committee Republicans Jim Jordan, Mark Meadows, and Jody Heiss, said State Department officials conducting the ongoing security review into the matter should testify. Quote, "We request a hearing to examine widespread security protocol breaches at the State Department concerning former Secretary Hillary Clinton's private email server. The unorthodox and unsecure arrangement she maintained exposed classified national security and diplomatic sensitive information to a myriad of risks and related issues. The wide-ranging fallout from these mishandling instances should not be minimized and obscured." On Monday, the State Department disclosed that it had identified multiple security incidents involving current or former employees' handling of Clinton's emails, and that 23 violations and 7 infractions have been issued as part of the department's ongoing investigation. The information came in a letter to Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley, who is responsible for overseeing the security review. Mary Elizabeth Taylor, the State Department's Assistant Secretary in the Bureau of Legislative Affairs, wrote to Grassley saying, "To this point, the department has assessed culpability to 15 individuals, some of whom were culpable in multiple security incidents. DS has issued 23 violations and 7 infractions. This number will likely change as the review progresses." President Trump highlighted the finding in a tweet overnight, questioning whether Democrats would investigate, and saying, "This is really big." He said, "Wow, the State Department said it has identified 30 security incidents involving current or former employees and their handling of crooked Hillary Clinton's emails. This is really big. Never admitted before. Highly classified material. Will the Dems investigate this?" Ooh. Former House Oversight Committee Chairman Jason Chaffetz, now a Fox News contributor, said Tuesday that the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo should personally handle the probe into departmental misconduct. Quote, "I love Mike Pompeo as the Secretary of State. I have the greatest respect for him. He's got his very full plate, but he has to personally get involved with this. Some people should be fired. They should lose their security clearances, and they should be in jail." The State Department, dubbing the matter serious, said it expected to conclude its investigation by September 1st. The department acknowledged that the probe was unusually time-consuming. Taylor wrote, "Given the volume of emails provided to the department from former Secretary Clinton's private email server, the department's process has been necessarily more complicated and complex, requiring a significant dedication of time and resources." Taylor also noted that disciplinary consequences were pending and that internal referrals have been made to State Department human resources and security officials, even where employees involved no longer work with the department. She set up this private email server against department regulations, against federal regulations. She was warned it would be insecure, and she did it anyway. And this was typical for her, her disregard for authority, her disregard for the rules set up, guiding and protecting things. It was very typical for her behavior during her time in office. And as a result, we were exposed as a nation to foreign powers in a bad way. And not only those employees, but she should pay for that. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. There's a lot of crazy stuff happening in our society today. I see it coming from the European nations, and then before long it happens here. You may have seen the story that's been kind of floating around. There is a video that's of a student being told by a teacher that he cannot say there are only two genders. This is happening somewhere in Europe. It's not here in America, but trust me, that will happen here. I would not be surprised if it happened here this week. Because that's how crazy things are getting. This student is being dressed down by a teacher and told that it is official policy, school policy, that he cannot say what is scientifically true. It's just a matter of time before our education system, controlled by leftists, will be imposing the same kind of bizarre, unrealistic standards on our students, which it just reinforces how important it is for you and I to be plugged in with our children and our grandchildren and to understand what they're being taught when they're not in our hands. When they leave our homes and they go to sit under the authority of other people, what are they being told? We must know, and we must correct the error. We must. Otherwise, we will have even more brainwashed, deceived children out there. One of the things that's happening in this weird social justice atmosphere is that boys are being allowed to compete against girls in sports. And we're seeing this happen again and again and again. Well, on Monday, Alliance Defending Freedom, that's the ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom attorneys representing teen track star Selena Sewell and two other minor female track athletes submitted a complaint to the U.S. Department of Education Office for Civil Rights seeking an investigation into sex discrimination. The complaint specifically challenges the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference policy allowing biological males who identify as female to compete in girls' athletics, ADF announced in a press release sent to the Daily Wire on Monday. Per the CIAC policy, Sewell was forced to compete against female-identifying biological males in a high-stakes track competition where two transgender sprinters beat the field, taking first and second place by significant margins. Sewell landed in eighth place, missing an opportunity to compete in front of college coaches by two places. Interesting. Two places. She told Laura Ingram back in February, she said, "I'm very happy for these athletes, and I fully support them for being true to themselves and having the courage to do what they believe in. But in athletics, it's an entirely different situation. It's scientifically proven that males are built to be physically stronger than females. It's unfair to put someone who is biologically a male, who has not undergone anything in terms of hormone therapy, against cisgender girls." By the way, cisgender means normal. You just want to use the right word. She goes on to say, throughout the 2018-19 track season, males consistently deprived the female athletes Throughout the 2018-19 track season, males consistently deprived the female athletes who are part of the complaint of dozens of medals, opportunities to compete at higher levels, and the public recognition that's critical to college recruiting and scholarship opportunities. The complaint notes that CIAC's policy and its results directly violated the requirements of Title IX, a federal regulation designed to protect equal athletic opportunities for women and girls. ADF legal counsel Christiana Holcomb said, "Girls deserve to compete on a level playing field." She goes on to say, "Forcing female athletes to compete against boys is grossly unfair and destroys their athletic opportunities. Title IX was designed to eliminate discrimination against women in education and athletics, and women fought long and hard to earn the equal athletic opportunities that Title IX provides. Allowing boys to compete in girls' sports reverses nearly 50 years of advances for women under this law. We shouldn't force these young women to be spectators in their own sports. Selena and her fellow female athletes train countless hours to shave mere fractions of seconds off their race times. They put in that effort in hope of the personal satisfaction of victory, an opportunity to participate in state and regional meets, or a chance at a college scholarship. But girls competing against boys know the outcome before the race even starts. They can't win. The boys will always have physical advantages over girls. That's the reason we have women's sports." Along with an investigation into sex discrimination, the complaint asks the Office for Civil Rights to require the conference to acknowledge every girl who would have been identified as a champion or who would have qualified for participation in a higher level competition, but for the participation of a male in her event. So they're fighting back, and that's a good thing. And you know what's coming. There's a butt coming. And it's coming from the largest collection of butts there is. Every Democrat presidential candidate, all of them who are polling above 1%, they all support a bill that would force schools to include male athletes who identify as transgender girls on female sports teams. It's called the Equality Act. It passed the House in May with unanimous Democrat support. It amends the Civil Rights Act of 1964 to make sexual orientation and gender identity protected characteristics under federal anti-discrimination law. The bill would force public schools to expand female athletic teams to include biological males who identify as transgender girls, as both critics and supporters of the bill have acknowledged. The bill comes as male athletes have racked up victories in female sports. With Republicans controlling both the White House and the Senate, the Equality Act has little to no chance of becoming law before the next election, but Democratic presidential candidates have pledged to make the bill a priority if they win in 2020. The top seven Democratic presidential candidates in Real Clear Politics running average of primary polls have all publicly endorsed the legislation. Former Vice President Joe Biden, the frontrunner, said passing the Equality Act would be his top legislative priority if he's elected. Biden said the bill is, quote, long overdue and will ensure LGBTQ Americans are treated with the dignity and respect they deserve. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who's polling second behind Biden, co-sponsored the Senate version of the Equality Act and included the bill in his presidential platform. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren also co-sponsored the bill and pledged to fight tooth and nail to get it passed if elected. South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg, or Buttigieg, you pick your pronunciation, said he strongly supports the Equality Act and called the bill's passage in the House a historic moment for equal rights in America. He's polling fourth in the Real Clear Politics average. Senator from California, Kamala Harris, co-sponsored the Senate bill, describing its passage as a pivotal part in ending homophobia and transphobia and moving our culture forward to be more inclusive and respectful. The Equality Act is prominently featured in Texas Representative Beto O'Rourke's plan for LGBTQ plus equality, which he released earlier in June. O'Rourke pledged to get the bill passed into law if he's elected. Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey also co-sponsored the Equality Act in the Senate and publicly signed on to a petition singer Taylor Swift launched in support of the bill. A spokesman for O'Rourke's campaign declined to comment on the Equality Act's interference in girls' sports. The other six Democratic campaigns did not return requests for comment. None of the other Democratic presidential candidates are polling above 1%. In the Real Clear Politics average. Yeah, the clown car is very, very full, and only a handful are polling above 1%. And they're all latching onto this, and it's all symbolic. And this is the danger with symbolic politics. These leftists, these progressives, in some cases, these bald-faced communists, are all reaching out symbolically to a tiny, 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 tiny fragment of our society. But they're also reaching out for the sympathies of those who don't understand the reality that that tiny segment of our society is denying. These people believe a fantasy, and these people are members of a group who, whether they go through complete transformation surgically or not, which has the highest incidence of suicide in our society. They have mental issues. And these people, these politicians, are bending over backwards to give them whatever they want because it's touchy-feely, it's emotional, and it looks good for them. That's easier than addressing the hard issue that these people need help. They don't need to be petted. And I need to get out of the way and get out of here. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on the next edition of The Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.